It is 7 o'clock exactly, and we are KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. I'm Chris Moore. Thanks for tuning in to KGNU this evening, and thank you for all of you who supported KGNU. You can go to KGNU.org if you did not yet become a member. We had our membership drive, and we are very, very happy to report that we enjoyed great success. But again, it's not too late, so just go to KGNU.org and show your support for classical music, for opera, and for our Present Edge show that takes place every Monday evening here on KGNU. This is the Opera Box program from 7 to 8, and we're going to be featuring two very well-known operas that are going to be performed live here pretty soon. One on November 6th, 9th, 12th, and 14th at the L.A. Calkins Opera House in Denver with Opera Colorado. I'll be talking very, very shortly with Greg Carpenter a little bit about the entire season and then about Puccini's Tosca. And then this weekend, we have La Traviata of Giuseppe Verdi, another very, very famous and popular opera that's being performed by the students at CU Boulder. Let's take a listen now to the interview that I did, some of the interview with Greg Carpenter. First, he'll be talking about the entire upcoming season.
Well, Greg, I was saying kind of off the record before we really started the interview just how happy I am to know that there's another major live main stage production of an opera anywhere happening in Colorado, and to have it be Opera Colorado with Tosca in November is absolutely amazing. So congratulations on surviving the COVID and being able to put something on the stage.
Thanks. Our patrons have been so generous and so kind during this time period, and we owe so much to their loyalty and continuing to be present with us during this challenging time that we've been through, and we're not quite 100% out of yet. Mm-hmm. But I can't tell you the energy around the office and the energy from our patrons and our board of directors, the more we're out there seeing them. We just cannot wait to put our feet back on the stage of the Opera House in a few weeks here and put this opera that, you know, we were supposed to do in this April, May of 2020, and here we are in 2021, a year and a half almost later, ready to do it finally.
Well, in November, we're going to be seeing Tosca as an audience. But I'd like to talk very briefly about the other two operas that are coming up, mm-hmm. one in February and one in May. You have The Shining. Now, is this the Stephen King novel is what we're talking about
yes.
here. But how new is this opera? And can you say just a little bit about it so that people can be kind of looking forward to that as we get into the spring season later?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, The Shining was actually premiered at Minnesota Opera in May of 2016. It actually had its premiere on the exact same night as we premiered The Scarlet Letter by Laurie Leighton here in Denver. And the design and directorial team, or excuse me, the design team, the set designer and lighting designer for The Shining was the exact same set and lighting designer that we used for Laurie Leighton's The Scarlet Letter. So, you know, we had, literally, it was a great night, you might say, for world premieres in the opera industry, because two on the exact same night. Mm-hmm. We are only the second company now to produce this opera. Minnesota, obviously, in 2016, and Opera Colorado now in 2022. It's really exciting to be putting this on the stage. It's one of the largest productions that we have had on the Opera Colorado stage there at the Ellie. I think it's another milestone for us in our move towards getting our audience to feel more comfortable with things that they don't know, whether that's contemporary repertoire mm-hmm. or just, you know, repertoire that's been out there for 100 or more years that maybe they haven't experienced here in Denver or other opera companies. So I see it as a big milestone for us. Obviously, there's the Colorado connection with the Stanley Hotel. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for the audience to know a couple of things about this piece. One, it is based on the novel, Stephen King's novel, not on the movie. There's mm-hmm. significant differences between the book and the movie, and this is much, much more true to the book itself. Second of all, the music is very lyrical. It's got absolutely beautiful moments in it. But of course, also, it's not a pleasant story.
It's creepy.
It's creepy.
It's a Halloween story.
It's very much a Halloween story. And so, obviously, the music is reflective of that sort of, that creepy side, you might say, of things. So there are moments where it's angular and dissonant, but there are also these amazing moments of beauty in the score. It's just got a lot of variety, and visually, it will be a feast for your eyes.
And speaking of beauty in music, I mean, you have Bizet's Carmen, which a lot of times people recommend that as a really great first opera because it is such a cavalcade of magnificently beautiful melodies. Maybe you can just say just a few words about that for your May performances, and then we'll get into the meat of the interview here.
Well, you know, in so many ways, who doesn't love Carmen, or who hasn't loved Carmen, if you want to put it that way?
Right.
You know, Carmen is one of those iconic operas that just never seems to lose its popularity. There are other operas that are in the canon that kind of come and go from the top five, and Carmen has consistently stayed in that over, you know, 100 or more years here now. I think it's partly the story, a really engaging story that is well-paced throughout the evening, the libretto, but also just one beautiful tune, that melody, aria, whatever you want, you know, ensemble, great choruses in this opera, but one wonderful melody that's recognizable to most people. After another. Yeah, there's just never a dull moment in this opera. Mm-hmm. There's never a moment where the energy lags in the music or anything. It just constantly moves us forward.
So those are the two operas that are coming up in the winter and spring of next year at Opera Colorado. We've been talking with Greg Carpenter. And this November, as I said, November 6th, 9th, 12th, and 14th at the L.A. Calkins Opera House, Puccini's Tosca, which has some gloriously beautiful melodies, including this one right here.
Thank you.
These excerpts from Tosca that we'll be hearing in this evening's program actually goes back to an older recording from, well, I guess it says here 1993, but Zinka Milanov, soprano, and our tenor is Jussi Björling, which is why I believe it may be earlier than that in terms of recording, and baritone Leonard Warren, also somebody who's kind of a classic performer. Anyway, we heard E Luceva Nestella, which kind of opens up Act 3 of Puccini's Tosca. We are going to share some more time now with Greg Carpenter, talking more about this opera coming up on November 6th, 9th, 12th, and 14th at the L.A. Calkins Opera House with Opera Colorado.
Puccini is possibly right up there at the very top when it comes to the capacity to create great melody. And November 6th, 9th, 12th, and 14th, possibly his most gripping and mercilessly realistic opera, Puccini's Tosca. Let's talk a little bit about that. And I think, wasn't it just five, six years ago or so that we had Tosca on the stage here, or was it longer than that?
Longer than that, 2010.
Oh, okay.
Was the last time we did Tosca here at Opera Colorado. You know, Tosca is a timeless opera, too, in so many ways. I think part of what we love about Tosca is the fact that it's just these amazing, lush Puccini melodies, the orchestration. It's everything we love about Puccini's music that carries us away. You could almost close your eyes and not see what's happening on stage, but we know what's happening because the music constantly telegraphs the emotion, the drama of that moment. I also think it's one of those operas that gives us everything. There is a character we love to hate. There are two characters. You know, Scarpia is the character we love to hate. You know, Tosca and Cavaradossi are these people that all night long we just want to pull for them to be together and to live happily ever after, you might say. The Sacristan is this wonderful, lovable, goofy, you know, comic character that we sort of love to see on stage, and that gives, to be honest with you, some dramatic moments, some comic relief, and so on. So it's got every element of drama that, as an audience member, we can really get into, and we can associate with in some way.
You started right off the bat with Baron Scarpia, and I'll never forget. I was interviewing a group of Met Opera auditioners, and there was this sweet, small soprano from Salt Lake City, a Mormon girl, and I asked everybody, "Does anybody have a character that they wish that they could play?" And she said, "I would like to be Baron Scarpia if I could." And I think that his is one of the most deliciously evil characters ever to make it onto the stage.
Yeah, I mean, I think of the word slimy when I think of Baron Scarpia, because he just is. You know, he's part of the world we live in right now, where we're seeing people, you know, being accused of sexual harassment, and these are iconic people in the world that we live in. And you know, Scarpia is very much that person. He knows how to manipulate somebody to get what he wants out of them, and blatantly sexual favor type of thing. And he's using his persona and his power as chief of police.
Right.
To get what he wants out of people.
Speranza, la regina farebbe grazia ad un cadavere. Come tu modi,
oh Dio! così, così ti voglio. Spasimi d'amore, per mia, 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 mia,
aiuto.
Odi e il tamburo sa via, guida la scorta, ultima condannati. Il tempo passa, sai, quale ascuna onda laggiù si compia. La si dritto patibolo! Al tuo Mario, per tuo voler, non resta che un'ora di vita.
Tosca is definitely right up there at the top of that heap of heroines. Is Puccini writes strong women characters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, she's being put upon and she's being suppressed and repressed, and you know, everything that he tries to do to get her to agree to be his lover, that is Baron Scarpia. She still is a strong woman. She takes the situation into her own hands.
Not just the situation, the knife.
Yeah, the knife. And she makes a strong decision, and she decides how she's going to deal with this. And even at the end, when she realizes she has been fooled, she still makes a strong decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether, you know, no matter how we feel about that decision, when she throws herself from the battlements of the Castel Sant'Angelo. It's there's strength in that decision. Butterfly does that.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many characters in Puccini that have that, female characters that have that strength. And I think that's just an iconic aspect of Puccini's music and his writing.
And tell me about Louisa Muller, the director, who, you know, as a woman, this might be interesting in terms of what kind of perspective she may be bringing to this strong female character of the 19th century.
Absolutely. Louisa is somebody we've had our eye on for years. You know, she's directed at the Metropolitan Opera, at almost every major opera house, Chicago Lyric, San Francisco. She's done things at LA Opera. So, you know, she's been in the business a while. And doing great things here in the U.S., but also in Europe, where she lives. And, you know, I think we chose somebody, chose a female director, and particularly Louisa, because I think she does bring an approach to this piece that first and foremost honors the music, honors the story itself. But I also do think that she will bring a perspective to Tosca herself, that character, and I think the brilliance of a great director and a great storyteller, because that's what I look at in a great director, is when do you allow that character to show the intense vulnerability that there is in her, and there's plenty of moments where we see that. Where do we see the fiery side of her personality? Lots of moments of that in the opera. And where do we see her build this decision-making process that she goes through pretty quickly?
Yes.
You know, she doesn't walk into Baron Scarpia's, you know, apartments that evening knowing she's going to stab him.
Right, right.
You know, it's how does a great director get to that moment where the knife is sitting there on a table, and she makes the decision that I'm taking this situation into my own hands. And I think that's what I'm excited about Louisa's approach to this piece is really getting into that storytelling. And so we feel every emotion that all characters are going through, but particularly Tosca, in that very moment where she agrees to be Scarpia's lover. She sings that amazing aria, Vici d'arte, that she does, everything she does in life, she does for art and love.
And I want to ask about that, if I may. I'm going to interrupt you, because that's one of those moments where time stops. That's, you know, in other words, the plot is roaring forward, and then all of a sudden, it's almost like Vici d'arte, which is, you know, a few minutes long, is actually a distillation of maybe 3 seconds of what's happening inside her head. Yep. Because she doesn't really have any time to sit around and sing Vici d'arte in real time.
Right.
But can you say a little bit about the sense of time and how it gets suspended in especially that aria, but other times in opera where, you know, it's not just linear time going forward?
Well, I think we see that in a couple of major space plays. I mean, many major places in this opera and other operas where time stops and we get inside the head of the character. Certainly, Vici d'arte is one of the, you know, classic moments where time does stop and the lights come down onto her. And we get inside of her head that she's making this, you know, I do everything for art and love. And if I'm going to be with my lover, this is what I have to do. I also think Scarpia's aria, big scene at the end of this first act, is a moment inside his head, because here we are in a cathedral, full procession, chorus singing the Te Deum, all of that. You got all this religious regalia and religious iconography and everything happening. And Scarpia's downstage of the chorus in his own light, singing about his lustful thoughts for Tosca. Right. You have that dichotomy of the profane and the secular, you know.
Yes.
It's just, I think it's a brilliant moment in the opera. But you're inside his head at that moment. This is, you know, the chorus doesn't hear what he's singing.
Right.
You know, the rest of the people on stage don't hear what he's singing. They're in the midst of a religious ceremony.
Right.
Respiri una carrozza, presto, seguila dovunque vada, ho visto, provedi.
Va bene, il convegno.
Palazzo Farnese. Va Tosca, nel tuo cuor s'annida Scarpia.
And the evil Baron Scarpia planning his attack of lust on the great opera star Tosca in the end of Act One. Quite a dramatic scene there. And many, many climactic and dramatic scenes in Puccini's Tosca. If you haven't seen it, it certainly is one about the human cost of political corruption, to say the least. and an amazingly realistic opera. Arnold Schoenberg actually was upset about this opera because it has a torture scene in the second act, and even though it happens off stage, you can still hear the tortured man being screaming and being hurt. So it's one that is very, very gripping emotionally, as well as you can hear tonight, some of the most amazingly beautiful music ever composed. Puccini's Tosca, taking place in the L.A. Calkins Opera House, and that will be taking place on November 6th, 9th, 12th, and 14th. We've been talking with Greg Carpenter. Thank you very much, Greg, for your comments. And the recording we've heard, actually, I was right. The recording actually goes back to 1957, re-released in the 1990s. But the 1957 recording with Eric Leinsdorf conducting the Rome Opera Orchestra and Chorus in this music of Puccini features Leonard Warren, baritone, as Baron Scarpia, Jussi Björling, tenor, as Cavaradossi, and Zinka Milinov as the soprano, as Tosca. 7:32 is our time, and we have another really famous opera tonight coming up, and this is going to be happening this weekend at CU Boulder, Verdi's La Traviata. Let's listen to a few announcements, and then we'll get to that music.
Support comes from Caddis Collaborative, architects who consider community, sustainability, and carbon neutrality at every phase of design and construction. More information at caddispc.com.
Support comes from Sunshine Homeshare Colorado, a nonprofit that matches elders looking to remain in their homes with home seekers looking for affordable housing. Home sharing provides mutually beneficial effects for both the home provider and a home seeker. More at sunshinehomeshare.org.
As I mentioned before, at CU Boulder, they are putting on a performance of Verdi's La Traviata. I think there's about three performances coming up this weekend, so you don't want to miss that. This is, again, one of those amazingly beautiful operas and a very tragic one. Giuseppe Verdi himself was, at the time, living with a woman who would eventually become his wife, but they lived together for many years, and this created a huge scandal in Italy. And anybody who had anything bad to say about her in terms of their morals would never have a chance to speak to or see Giuseppe Verdi again. So people had to kind of shut up in the, because Verdi was such a powerful force in the world of opera. But nevertheless, the gossip was pretty merciless, and Verdi and his girlfriend, then later on his wife, knew all about it. So Verdi's La Traviata is about the unfair treatment of women who live, quote unquote, in sin before getting married. Let's take a listen to some of the excerpts from this amazingly beautiful opera. Let's go ahead and start with the prelude from Act One, and we'll just hear a few more highlights to take us up to 8 o'clock. This is a performance that is on a Pro Arte Maxi Play CD, and it is not telling me who the performers are. So I will take a look at that and promise to get back to you on that.
Thank you. bellezza in fiore, e là fuggevo allora sine pria folluta. Li biome dolci fremiti che suscita l'amore, poiché quel occhio al cuore onnipotente va. Li biome amore, amai fra i calici più cali baci fra.
Oh, dear.
bariletto. Volaron già tre lune da che la mia villetta agì per me lassù dovizie, amori e le pompose feste. O fagli omaggiatezza, fedi a schiavati a scu di sua bellezza. Ed or contenta in questi avenu luoghi tutto scorda per me.
Cella Valerie.
Sono io.
Alfredo il padre me vedete.
Noi.
Sì, dell'incauto che a ruina corre amagliato da voi.
Oh, sono io, signore, ed in mia casa io vi lascio sentite più per voi che per me.
Quai modi pure.
Ma tenerare voi foste.
De suoi beni egli dono vuol farvi.
Ma non lo so finora. Rifiuti il re.
Pur tanto l'uso.
Ma tutti mi spero questa fu a voi non sia.
Ciel, e riscopro d'ogni vostra vere, or volete spogliarvi. Ah, il passato, perché v'accusa?
Io non esiste, ora lo farete, e più lo cacciate.
dai sensi un sacrificio cieco.
Oh, tacete, terribile opposo chiede a spacciarmi. Il previdi, battesi, era felice troppo.
Dal freddo e il padre, la sorte, l'avvenir domandar qui dei suoi due figli.
Di due figli?
Sì. Ora siccome un angelo Idio mi die una figlia, se Alfredo lega riedere in seno alla famiglia, l'amato e amante giovine qui sposa andar dovea, ora si ricusa il vincolo che lieti lieti le rendeva, e l'amutate in triboli le rose dell'amor, ma non mutate in triboli le rose dell'amor, a preghi miei resisterno, no, non voglia il vostro cor, no, no. Non è ciò che chiedo.
Sì, che più cercate, o pesi assai.
Pur non basta.
Volete che per sempre le rinunzi.
E dopo. E giovine col tempo. Poiché dal cielo non furono
sogno e sedutore. Siete di mia famiglia, l'angel consolatore. Violetta, te pensateci, ne siete in tempo ancora. Eri che ispira giovine, e Dio che ispira giovine. Eri che ispira, t'hai detto un
excerpts from Verdi's La Traviata, which you will get to hear this weekend if you want to, and I hope you do, at CU Boulder. They're putting on the CU Presents series October 22nd through the 24th, the entire La Traviata of Giuseppe Verdi. Very, very tragic story, and one that has a lot of repercussions about the social expectations of women at that time, and a very strong character in how she deals with it. Just after 8:05 right now, we're KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. And we're going to jump from our opera program in just a moment to our A Classic Monday, and going to tell you a little bit about some of the concerts that are happening along the Front Range as well. I'd like to mention, by the way, that the BDT stage, which just put on a wonderful performance of Avenue Q that just ended, I think, yesterday, now is getting ready for October 21st for the opening from October 21st through the 31st of Take to the Highway, a group of singers singing songs of James Taylor, Carly Simon, and Carole King. So that's something that you may want to enjoy. And then they also have Play Me a Memory, songs of Billy Joel and Elton John, for just a little bit of time, maybe 3 or 4 days the next weekend after that, sometime in early November.